Welcome to the TechNori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is sponsored by ActiveCampaign. Go beyond email marketing with true automation by signing up at activecampaign.com/TechNori. Get your first 2 months for free. Today's guest, Ramzi Guda, founder and CEO of Karching. I guess this doesn't matter for the listener, but it's just kind of an interesting story that Karching came to me through my friend Richard Carrier, who I literally, like one of the first clients I worked with as a consultant when I started my first company out of Northwestern was called E3 VIP. We did the official tailgate for the Bears. It was a gigantic spectacle. I think it's still there, actually, for those of you who have seen it. Fantastic experience, like no other, honestly, when it comes to tailgating. We did a bunch of like the Hawks games, and we also did the outdoor Hawks games in the parking lot, and a lot of fun. Richard has a bunch of different ventures, and so he reached out to me and was like, hey, you got to meet Ramzi. He's got this company called Karching, and it's an idea behind stopping kids in particular, other people in general, from scrolling and texting while driving. And I think we can all agree that there's nothing that pisses you off more than waiting at a light and someone's head is in their lap, and then, oh, they quickly get up and speed through the light, and if you're lucky, no accidents happen. If you're lucky, you're just late or annoyed. There's been a bunch of businesses and startups and apps and things, many of which come through Chicago, that have tried to address it but just didn't quite get it. I think part of it is that they're thinking that they're going to warn you to death. They're going to warn you that texting and driving is no good and all this other stuff. But the reality is you're not competing with a kid who's like, oh, I'm just bored while I'm driving. You're competing with Instagram. You're competing with FOMO. You're competing with notification addiction. And the only way to combat that, in my opinion, is cash. And I think that's why I thought this was a cool company, because you got to figure out who stands to gain the most. Obviously, the parents and the kids stand to gain the most because they live, which is not to be understated. But truthfully, everything comes down to money in this world, and insurers are the ones who stand to gain. $70 billion, in fact, stand to gain as far as savings in that regard. So I think it's an interesting idea of pairing a way to make money while not texting and driving. And to listen to, speaking of FOMO, to find out how they do this and how you can help your kids not text and drive and make money while doing it, you're just going to have to listen to the podcast. So this is my interview with the CEO and founder of Karching, Ramzi Guda.
I'm actually an audio engineer for 35 years.
Well, then
years.
You know how this goes.
So. Yeah, but you should see where I live. It's all, yeah.
That could go one of two ways. I don't even know that. I think we're rolling. I don't think there's a better way to start than finding out where do you live, Ramzi?
I live in River North.
Okay, so it's you're suggesting that it's very loud when you do audio recording.
It can get raucous sometimes, but yes.
Yeah, River North, good times.
I'm kind of in the middle of River North. I pioneered the neighborhood, came there when there was nothing there.
So the value of your home has gone up exponentially.
Well, you could say that, yes.
That's like my friends try to tell me, like, oh, I moved to Logan Square, you know, it's starting to get really valuable. It's like, it is, don't get me wrong, but you moved there like 4 years ago. It's like you were kind of part of the migration. You capitalized potentially, but not.
This is actually.
Not OG River North potential.
I'm OG River North, where I'm talking, I don't do the math for the young people anymore, but since 91.
Well,
which is a little insane.
We're going to make you do the math because your company's called Karching.
Yes.
So there's math involved in this. I listen, this is actually kind of funny. So I've had a couple of companies that have come through the TechNori, all trying to solve how to stop people, let alone kids, from texting and driving.
Sure.
And I can go on a rant, as I'm sure you can, for days about my issue when I see people at the stoplight or I see them doing whatever, and they're literally always like that face in their hands. They're not like, they're just not aware of what's going on. It drives me ape shit.
Yeah.
And like, even my own wife, she's like, you know, now we have a newborn, so like we're gonna be careful, we're not texting and driving. And even she does it. She won't listen to the show, so it's fine. She does it all the time. It drives me absolutely nuts. What? I went out and got a Tesla just to like alleviate that problem.
Oh,
so
nice
now
job.
I auto drive downtown. I text like a fucking fool.
So you told your wife, I'm getting this for our daughter.
Yeah,
she believed you.
She needs that.
That's pretty good.
She needs to be able to go 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds on an electric battery. It takes $1.75 to charge. She needs this.
Oh my God, love it.
But I'll tell you what. So the other, we'll get into the whole business and all this stuff. But the I can start off by saying the problems that the potential solutions to stop texting and driving had, which is what you're fighting against, and you've got some novel ways to do that, which we'll get into, is that you're not competing necessarily with just the attention span of being bored driving or like whatever, the itch of an iPhone, like, did I get a notification? You're literally competing with however interesting Instagram is at this minute. Oh, these man. People are it's not that they want to text, they can't help them. It's like crack. And yes. So the problem that the apps that came before had was the incentive wasn't good enough. It right. didn't matter how cool and social the sharing was, and like one of them was just straight up like, the once you're in a car, it just like killed all communication in the car. It's like, well, that's
doesn't
not,
work.
That doesn't work.
No, people don't deal with it.
No.
So,
and they have watches now that have it. So they literally, it's like the same thing. So right. you've come up with a, and it's pretty evident in the name Karching, a way to use monetizing as an incentive in some regards.
Yep.
And then there's so I want to start this off with. And then we're going to go down memory lane and go back to 91 and see what happened.
Oh, geez.
oh, geez is right. So the three areas that I want to carve this conversation into is your company and solution top to bottom, what it does. The second one is around the fact that monetizing as a way to compensate against FOMO.
Yep.
Has to incentivize the kid, but it also has to incentivize the parents to want to do it, and also has to incentivize whoever else is making or losing money in this venture. And so we're going to isolate insurers in this case, and,
yep.
and identify basically the path, the quickest path to power is usually where the most money is found. So there we're going to figure out who that is. And then the third piece of this is, how do you scale this and how do you get this in front of people, and why were you the guy to build it? Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So why don't we start this off with, what is Karching? What am I looking at?
We are a smartphone-based telematics end-to-end ecosystem that basically incentivizes teen drivers to stay off their phone while they're driving.
Yep.
And, you know, stepping back to something you said earlier, if you told me there was a $70 billion budget to cajole, manipulate, or extort 12 million teenagers, okay, and you said, figure it out, if I couldn't do it, I should shoot myself now.
Yeah.
Because there's $70 billion a year in claims paid out from the insurance companies. 6% of the market costs 28% of the payouts, okay? So the way I look at it, stepping back, and this is, it took me this long to get to this place, but there's a $70 billion river of cracked glass, shredded tires, gravestones, hospital bills, death, blood, guts. We have to reverse this giant river of loss, okay? And
or find salmon that swim upstream. That's it.
Yes, or find this episode. So we want to peel off a little bit of that money, okay? Reverse the flow, sprinkle it to a bunch of kids, modify their behavior, and save the insurance companies a ton of money and save a bunch of lives in the process.
So we're identifying here that insurance companies have the most to gain other than obviously the sanctity of life, which is a
yeah, that's its own thing. That's priceless and all, okay? But yes, so...
let's circle around that, because that's the line that I think we had, you were mentioning before the show, we had Vouch, Travis Hedge on the show, and obviously we had our friend
Travis.
Kyle from Clear Cover and these other ones.
We know those guys.
We almost always end up on this, like... Obviously, safety is priceless. Life is priceless, but let's not bullshit each other. Who makes money in this deal?
I know. And how to get the humans to change their behavior.
Yeah.
Where's the money?
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, you're hitting on, yes, all lives are priceless. I have children. Nobody wants their kid to die behind the wheel. It's parents' number one fear.
Yeah.
Okay. Today, it's worse than, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Yep.
Worse than, you know,
which we could all go into that also if one needed to.
But there are surveys that show parents' number one fear of children from 16 to 20 is the behind the wheel of the smartphone.
Yeah.
They know they're addicted. So anyway, the idea is that we take the idea of where's all the money. We leverage, you know, the parental piece of the money in the family. And there's some things that are proprietary. I can talk about some things you'll see as it comes out. But we basically take, you know, the money the kid's already getting.
Yep.
Small money, movie money, lunch money. And we tell them, this is how you get your money out when you drive. Your parents can put this in here. If you don't touch your phone, it flows in your PayPal, flows in your Venmo. As you drive, you get to use your map and your music, and you get that. We also have another proprietary piece of the puzzle, which is where we take these things you see on TV today, the discounts.
Yep.
Don't touch my discount, which it took this long to really go mainstream, but I kind of saw it coming a while back. And you know, we flipped it around in the equation between the parent, teen, and the insurance company, and we patented the idea of turning it into a cash payment to the kid. So,
can you go into not? I don't need the legalities necessarily around it as much as Because obviously anything handling money with children is going to involve regulation and things. So we don't need to go into that.
Right.
The idea of these insurers putting money into the kid's pocket, how does that work?
Well, I can't really talk too much about the details of it because it's part of our IP, but it's basically...
Well, I mean, from a user experience, I don't need to know how you do it. I mean, so I'm a kid driving around and I'm not texting, so I'm doing music and we'll get into what the distractions are.
Gotcha.
I'm accumulating money by doing the right things.
Yep.
How does that work?
Well,
where is it coming
basically,
from?
It's like the thing you see on TV, like Allstate, when what's her name is driving along, she's getting more money every time. So we have a formula that ties directly to the insurance companies.
Okay.
So we actually use their platforms as is. Yeah. So we don't tell them how to do what they do. We just say if Allstate says you get $50, you get the $50. Now what we do is we have our own system where we convert that in the process of money to the kid as they drive. So we kind of show the double pools of money, the parental money and the insurance money, and as they drive, it goes up as they see it on their system. So, you know, it's something that you'll see when the app comes out, but it's a double funnel of money to the kids, and within that they get rewarded. They can pick things out that they want. We kind of have an Amazon tie-in in there. There's a social network tie-in. There's going to be some content.
I love – so I'm going to pause on this and go kind of a post-mortem on some of the companies that didn't do so hot.
Yep. We know a lot of them.
I know a lot of them. And I know a lot of the guys who started it. And I will tell you, just point blank, and part of it's probably legality that this wasn't available when they started. Some of this is going back to 2012.
Sure.
Listen, nothing has changed. Everything's changed in the world, but nothing has changed in the world.
Like, sure.
We all want to play on Instagram, but if I were to offer, I guarantee I come home every night, my wife is on Instagram for like 2 hours.
Right.
If I were to just say to her for every minute that she's not on here, I will put $10, that's a lot of money, put a dollar in her bank account.
Sure.
My guess is that number would go down significantly. She'd have to think Starbucks cups versus scroll.
Right.
And I think that kids would much rather spend their money and have money to spend on things at that current juncture in life. 16 to 20 is like...
Oh, yeah.
It's everything.
They start realizing how much things cost and they're driving around.
You have a strategic advantage there. The other part that I think was missing from some of these other companies that I saw was the conversion, because they had points and the points convert and stuff.
Points kind of suck.
It sucks because I don't know what the hell this means. Like,
I hate points.
You might have a shot at points if you're direct to crypto. Like if the points were a crypto and you were like, we give you an exchangeable crypto to fiat that you could use.
Right.
Now, they could trade it in video games, maybe.
Right. Kids know the difference nowadays. So kids,
I don't need a free hat. That's not going to... Free dick carriers I'll take, but I don't need a free hat. I need I need something like
tangible.
Interesting. Yeah, right? And so money is that, but you have the ability to tap into the things that they want that are available with exchange money, like Amazon, like getting music on, you know, whatever, music on Apple Music or Spotify subscriptions. There's so many
it's
things
that
you can do.
It's all cash money. It is literally cash money. Yep. This is no points at all. So I don't do, you know, this is not about points.
Yeah.
So we've got a system that actually pushes money around inside between the insurance company, parents, and we have a banking partner now coming in that's a big banking partner talking real money. But point is, you know, tangible rewards motivate people, and they've done tests. So there's giant companies out there like Octo Telematics, Zendrive, Cambridge Telematics out of MIT. They've logged like a trillion miles of testing and logging in telematics. And the thing that stood out to me a few years back when I started studying the telematics space was these studies were showing, you know, fines don't work, punishment, laws, okay? Nothing really worked except... You give somebody cash money or an Amazon card that they really think is real, that's really theirs, in their account, and they found that accident rates go down by like 68% on average.
I believe that.
If they said, and they did it. Cambridge did this test.
It was just funny that, like, if I told you I gave you $100, but I'm not going to give you any more money. You have $100 that your parents gave you. And we're going to, every time you text and drive, I'm going to take $5 out. I wouldn't give a shit. I'd keep driving and be like,
that's
I didn't have $100 to begin with.
Right.
But if I had $0 in my bank account and you said, I'll give you $5 for every time you don't text and I got to $100, I would do that all day long.
And you see it going up as you go.
Yeah.
So you're going to see the progress. It's literally, if you're driving, it goes up. You're like, if you start messing around, it stops.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're not, it's not going to be distracting while they drive.
Do these kids have to pay taxes on this money? What's the deal here?
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah, they'll have to talk to their parents about that. But, you know.
I mean, I was just thinking, I was like, it is tax season. It's a good question.
We've actually thought about it.
So let's talk a little bit about the money piece of this with regard to insurers. Why is this such a good deal for insurers, and why is this such a good deal for parents? And why does the correlation between the parent who's probably paying for the insurance, why does that correlation translate into something that, because I'm making a guess here, but my assumption is that kids are only going to do what they're going to do. Like, parents have no control of their kids anymore, but they still kind of do.
Yes, they have a little bit, but here's
they normally pay for the car and the insurance in a lot of cases. So that's the one area in life that they literally could be like, and I'm taking the key and or insurance, and this is over.
Right. You take so the point is you tapped into it. So the first year of driving is the most worst year of driving for insurance companies and for kids. So the average 16-year-old in year one gets in a $25,000 accident. This is over average. So one in four gets in a major catastrophic in year one, and that's defined by the insurance industry as a major catastrophic is $90,000 to $150,000 accident.
Yep.
So that means on average, your 16-year-olds, when they start, or the first-year drivers, it's a negative $25K.
Yeah.
So insurance companies have the most to gain. So out of that $70 billion, okay, if you think of that kid's on the road, the insurance company puts a sticker, a red big bullseye sticker on his forehead, there goes $25,000.
Yep.
So our job as a company that's, you know, we're kind of going to become a banking clearinghouse for cash payments, but there's $25,000 in what the insurance companies are going to be paying out. We can take any number of dollars from our system, funnel it to the kid. And even if we end up giving the kid $5,000 for that year, we're still going to lower it by 68% and save the insurance company $25,000.
Yep.
So the money's in there. It's a matter of how you push it around and how you bank it and how you put it in the system. And it shows that, you know, if you could give kids something tangible, you can feasibly lower accidents by that much a year. Now, our numbers are in a real conservative model that you take 500,000 kids in the carching system, and we can remove $1 billion a year from the claims pools for insurance companies. And that's very conservative.
That's a gigantic number. And obviously, this, again, goes back to one of the reasons that this has been, and this isn't just isolated to this sort of problem solution set. This is a lot of B2C to B-ish kind of businesses that exist in the commercial place.
B2B to C.
They really don't have the teeth to make enough money to make this thing scale in a way that would work, because none of the three parties involved get to actualize real money. This is a scenario where that's not the case, where the amount of money that is there to be saved in very obvious fashion for the insurers incentivizes them to, at minimum, kick the tires on this, pun intended, and give this a whirl.
Yes.
And that is enough money for you, even if they did just a tiny amount, for you to incentivize kids to do it.
Sure.
So there's a lot of room for you. I mean, you don't even need the $5 billion or whatever.
No. Even if we move the needle 1%, I've been told they'll go nuts and jump up and down. And you know, we're talking
1%
to companies.
1% of $5 billion is a large number.
1% of $70 billion is a lot of money.
More,
so, it's, you know, we're talking to companies, you know, certain names that you've heard. I mean, we got MetLife, AAA, LaGrange, you know, Clear Cover. We're talking a lot of different insurance companies. They're all very interested, and they see the value. They just want to see us get this out and piloted, which we're doing right now.
Yep.
So it's coming out in the market in about a month. We'll have the beta of the big app. We have a driver's ed app on the App Store, which is kind of part of our go-to-market. It's out there right now under Karching, K-A-R-C-H-I-N-G, and it's a logging app for parents and kids while they're getting their permits.
Yep.
So while they have their permit, we made like an automatic timing app that sees both phones in the car and the GPS, and it logs as they drive. Instead of this, you know, today they're using like a pencil and paper.
Yeah, they log it in.
State of Illinois is like, print this up and then write it down, and it's all janky. So we made an automated system that knows when your parent and kid are together in the car, and it logs the hours.
Yep.
And it's a very clean, they actually don't do anything.
Yeah.
It just works. If your mom has the app and you have the app, or your dad, it just sees you, and then it shows you your hours.
So let's go into your background to get to this point, and then I want to kick the idea around on different ways that this could be scaled beyond just the obvious, which is plenty of market. But there's there are other opportunities, I think, that this presents itself. So what is your background that gets you in a spot to do this? Because I think, again, a lot of the previous people had the, which is totally novel, that their idea was like, listen, this is a dangerous situation. We want to do good. We want to help. I get it. I respect that. But you have to be the right combination of history to be the person to scale this. So tell me more about how you got to this point.
Well,
what was it like working at Snapchat? Because I think that was also...
Yeah. I was at Snap for their IPO. That was a lot of fun. That was kind of in the middle of this whole thing.
Did you get to go to the big party in Pasadena? Like, what was...
I was there. Like I had an office on the beach.
Oh.
It was like a dream.
Yeah.
And it was like, I got interviewed. I didn't know who I was interviewing with. And then they just said, can you be out here next Tuesday at 10:15? And I was like, where's here? You know, and they're like, Market Street in Venice. And then I sat there with like 28 other guys. And then... they call me 2 days later. They're like, boom, you got it. So it was kind of a combination of a lot of things I've been doing my whole life. So my background is, you know, music, media, and wireless broadband. So I was trained by Defacto Wireless, caught the tech wave back in, like, you know, 99, 2000, and just started learning about networking, wireless radios. Slowly over time, you know, gadgets were coming in, payment terminals and taxis, mobility, software mobility. Just as the network got more mature, it just came down. I consulted on a thing called advercar.com, which was like a mobile advertising thing for cars, and AdView Digital Media. We had a kind of a taxi Groupon coupon thing. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But over time, the last thing I did that was kind of tied in was a thing called Facebook TV, which I did with Clear Channel Interactive and Clear Channel Entertainment, which was a social media, interactive social media posting platform that we built for them. And we had a nice 2.5-year contract with them doing all their events for teens.
Yeah.
So it was like kids coming to concerts. They're all wanting to post themselves. And we had a camera booth and all. It was like the social photo booth.
Yeah.
So we brought that in early, way early, did that. After that, a friend of mine, you know, he said, Rams, my daughter got in a car crash and you got to really solve this problem. You're the man. You know, you work with teenagers and all this. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, solve the biggest problem on the road today. You know, texting and driving. I'm like, okay. So kind of came up with a concept. He showed me a bunch of apps that were really bad. Mm-hmm. They were all like really pedantic.
I think we were just talking about that.
Paternal. Yeah, they're all like, you know, don't die. Yeah. Be safe. Be good. You know, and you tell a kid any of these things, they're going to just say whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of realized they were all built for the wrong party. And I decided to focus just on the kids, you know, because adults, you know, you give them $20-$30 a month, it's not enough to move the needle. It's not enough to even motivate them to do anything. You know, you gotta close a house deal, make $5-10 grand.
Yeah.
You're not going to turn down something for $30.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine who's raised over $1 billion in his career, great friend John Ine, major investment banker guy, he goes, just do the kids and the parents and the insurance company. He goes, figure that out. There's a business there.
Yeah.
Cut out all the other stuff. So decided to really focus on the teens. Came up with a concept, you know, got it going. I took it over to a group over here. I happen to know the chief counsel for family office over here in the NBC Tower, big wellness company, CompSych, nice guys. Went in there, me and a buddy in a really bad PowerPoint, and we said, here's what we got. What do you think? And they basically made us an offer to buy us in our first meeting. And we're like, they're like, come back with all your business plan, your org chart, all this stuff. And we're like, we left there. We're like, holy crap, what are we going to do? We got nothing. We're like, you know, there's two guys at a bad PowerPoint. It was called Cash Cow at the time. So that was like a sign. We're onto something. The biggest wellness company in the world wanted to buy this and bring it in to their channel. So kept going. Shopped around. We're still too early. You know, people were like, what is this? What's telematics? It was still so early. People were like clueless. Then I went to Snap, did that gig. That was great. Had fun. Came back. I said, I better get this going. These guys, Jamie Rabinowitz from Hot Glass Ventures, took me in. He goes, we got an office for you in 1871. Finish what you started. He goes, this is legit. We're getting it now. So him and then Stouffer from Legacy, great guys, good old friends of mine, but they're our first, you know, seed guys, and we love them. We're like, get in there and finish this up. So we kind of got fleshed out the model, brought it, you know, to maturity, updated it with all the telematics. And at that time, too, we saw that these discounts were starting to come in. It just kind of like slowly snowballed around. Everything I predicted, I thought would happen. So, like, you're, at the time when I switched from Geico to Progressive, they were like, we'll give you 30% back on your insurance. And I was like, what? They're like, it's 30? Can I heard 5 and 8 yeah. and 10? And I'm like, what do you measure for 30%? They measure hard braking, how much you drive, and when you drive.
Yeah.
And you got to put this thing in your car. And yep. I'm like, that's a lot of money, 30%, for just those three data points.
Yeah.
So then after it grew, companies were starting to push it up to 40. And even in January last year, State Farm was literally, we called them, we're like, what's your discount now? They're like, 50%. So we're like, that's great for us. Yeah. So in a lot of ways, everything I thought was going to happen is happening more at a higher rate.
Yeah.
Accidents are higher. Rebates are higher. You know, refunds, discounts, can't say rebates. So everything's just snowballed together for right where we are. So we're kind of built for the convergence of about five different trends. And, you know, our timing is right on with the marketplace.
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, ultimately time will tell if the kids will follow this and use it. There are times yep. that I've found that with some of these things, kids just don't ever get on for whatever reason. It's like, I feel like...
It's a big test.
Getting them to actually sign on is going to be the biggest test for you guys, which is like a no-brainer. But in all reality, like if that is successful, then there's no telling where this stops. I think another thing that...
We have users on now on the Driver's Head app.
Yeah. There's, well, yeah, yeah, you've got a nice thing to like onboard people into that and then sort of yeah. move them over to Karching.
They're on it.
The other thing I could see as being interesting is, especially if you have the parents doing this for kids, the discounts are less for the parents, especially if they're older with good driving history, but there's still discounts to be had there. I'm wondering if you don't have the ability to add a parents portal where they have it on their phone as well.
Well, they do.
And they can,
for them to drive?
For them to drive and have money go into like Acorns, where it's like into an ETF.
Right.
And it's a savings mechanism, because everybody doable. And their brother right now is downloading apps to round up to the nearest dollar
yes.
and put it into some sort of ETF.
Yep.
Why not? Like, you can't do it with the kids because it's, one, they need liquid, and two, you can't invest in some of the things, and it's just, they're not
old enough. Acorns is a good model. That's one of the models that I kind of used in our
yeah.
model.
So like, why not just plug in an Acorns for the parents so that, like, everyone's going through this?
Yeah. No, you could do that.
I mean, you could even create competitions between the parents and the kids, who's making more money.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, then you start having stickiness.
We're going to have, like, a Charles Schwab and an Acorns yeah. thing in there, too, where the kids can save it for college.
Yeah.
And it accumulates. Yeah. We've had a lot of people talk about that. And
to me, that's super interesting because it's like, it's first you got to get them to use it, but then if you can get them to use it, or even if they haven't used it yet, but you can get them in a position where people they know are making money or saving money on it.
Oh yeah.
Then there's a competition, and now the competition is fueled with content, and you got a whole. As long as they're not playing on the app while they're driving.
Well, yeah, everything's when they're
the
not driving.
Yeah.
No, everything
that's
about
the only
it is you only get your map and you get to play music in the background.
The
that's
app
it.
Is so good that the kids started using the app while they were driving.
I know, no deal.
Oh my God. Okay, so where are we at in the timeline now? How much do people, like, can people use it yet? When's the launch on this?
The Driver's Ed app is out now. They can yep. just try it out just to see. You get a score.
Where do they go to download that? What's the name?
On the Apple Store and Android.
And what's it called?
Karching with a K.
Oh, just the Driver's
just,
app.
Yeah, it's okay. Just Karching. You can look it up. It's right there. And then the big app is going to be out end of February, testing into March. And into April, that we'll have the you know the final release for that, but it'll be out in beta in March.
Awesome. Well,
yep.
Congratulations on getting this off the ground. I think it definitely is different from everyone else that we had talked to, and I think that there's a lot of potential. And at the end of the day, we're talking about proving a model for a subsect of people.
Yep.
And obviously being kids, if that was proved out and made valuable, the number of things you could create behind this
yes.
is just...
We're going to have lots of that. Like contests, I mean, like Lollapalooza,
every human being in
driver.
This country and probably in the world, but this country in particular, that is of an age that is behind a vehicle, stands to gain on this.
Yeah, and we thought market. Of a lot of things related. You know, best driver Lollapalooza yeah. contests. We're going to tie in a lot of music promotion stuff. Win a backstage pass with you and your friends. You know, get 100 kids.
Stuff that these kids care about.
Yeah, gamification. So we've yeah. created a lot of game ideas within it. It's a social network built in, gamification.
I love the streaks that, you know, like it played out on Snapchat, as you obviously know. Yeah. It played out to where I don't think kids really care about it now, but if you're looking at creating a streak that resulted in backstage passes to Lollapalooza,
Yeah.
There's no better incentive to, like, I can go backstage by literally just not texting and driving.
I know. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of things tied in like that.
Which I think we got to change the name from don't text and drive to don't scroll and drive. Because I think people don't text and drive now because they think they'll get pulled over and a cop is like, you were texting. It's actually scroll. Don't scroll and
drive. It's just no phone. Yeah, it's just focus on the road.
Charge your phone during the drive. That's the real, that's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
Ramsey, thank you so much for taking the time. This is really cool. I hope people check it out.
Glad to be here.
Is there a website or anything people could follow?
Yeah, karching.com, KARCHING.
Awesome. Very
cool. Check it out. And we're out here, and you can reach us through that. And anybody interested, give us a call.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ramsey.
Thanks a lot, guys. Right.
If you've got any questions for me or for Ramsey, DM me on Instagram or Twitter at Technoy or at Katoon. To apply to pitch on the Startup Showcase, which is live on WGN Radio Saturdays from noon to 1, go to technoy.com. Boom, that's a wrap.